and welcome to all our listening audience. On this initial broadcast of Worth Baptist Hour, we wish to express to you our joy in bringing Christ into your home. This radio ministry has but one objective, that is to bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This, we feel, is best done by proclaiming the unsearchable riches of His marvelous grace. We believe preaching is God's way of bringing Christ to men and bringing men to Christ. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We further believe that the church is the only organism on earth ordained by God to evangelize the world. The commission that Jesus gave was given to the church, and the only business of the church in the world today is to make disciples of men. This is so stated by Jesus Himself in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 28 at verse 18. Jesus said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Thus, Worth Baptist Hour is presented as an arm of the Worth Baptist Church in its ministry of evangelizing the world. This broadcast will be heard each Sunday at this same time. Now that we have stated our objective, we invite you to God's Word and our message for today. My message is entitled, Repent or Perish. You'll find my text in the book of Luke, chapter 13. I shall begin reading at verse 1, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this first broadcast of Worth Baptist Hour. And we would ask that as it goes into the homes and businesses and automobiles, and by the way, wherever people are hearing it, that it might bring into their hearts and into their homes and into their lives the glorious gospel of Thy Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, as we ask it in His name and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now in Luke chapter 13 at verse 1, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There are two things that can be said about any message on repentance. One, a message on repentance is never too popular. And two, the message of repentance is always timely. For you see, it is not what we want, but what we need that is best for us. In this world of neither nor, when there is apparently neither good nor bad, right nor wrong, we need a clear-cut message from God to define the truth for us. We are living in an age of permissiveness, and in this age, men have discovered that with a smart attorney and the proper manipulation, they can escape judicial punishment. For example, a man commits a crime, and the arm of the law makes the arrest. He is hailed before the court. But justice is all too often perverted. And in many cases, the criminal, it seems, is given more consideration than his victim. But not so in the court of heaven. For every man there shall receive a just recompense of reward. The beloved Apostle John in the Revelation chapter 20 gives us a commentary on that day. In verse 11, John writes, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." My message, Repent or Perish, has three questions that I would ask and by the help of the Holy Spirit attempt to answer. First, what is repentance? Second, why should we repent? And third, when should we repent? What is repentance? The idea is mentioned some 70 times within the framework of the New Testament. The word repentance comes from the Greek word, which means to change one's mind, one's heart, and one's attitude. If a man repents, he changes his mind and his attitude toward God, toward self, and toward sin. It is not a mere remorse for sin. It is a ceasing from sin. The wise Solomon in Proverbs chapter 28 at verse 13 declared, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." True repentance is not only a heart broken for sin, but it is a heart broken from sin. Genuine repentance brings new direction into one's life. It is an about-face. It is as though a man were walking east and he turns to walk west. The message of the Bible is a message of repentance. This was the message of the prophet Amos to Israel in the long ago, when he cried, "Prepare, O Israel, to meet thy God." I can see a parallel in Amos's message to Israel and in the need of this hour in the midst of the 20th century. For if America needs anything today, America needs God. And I would paraphrase Amos's statement, "Prepare, O America, to meet thy God." This was the message of Jonah to the city of Nineveh, that city of over 500,000 people, a city of sin, a city of sensuality, a city that was distant from God. And Jonah went into that city crying, "Repent, for yet 40 days, and this city shall be overthrown." This was the message of John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, that man of destiny who came as the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. John's message was this: "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This was the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our text, Jesus makes one thing clear. If men do not repent, men perish. Again, this was the message of Jesus in the Revelation chapter 2, in his message to the church at Ephesus. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, I will come and remove your candlestick." As a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, my message to you today is simply this: repent of your sin, forsake your way, turn by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, for you must recognize that it is repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ that brings salvation into your heart. One outstanding example of repentance in the New Testament comes to us from the life of the prodigal son. The prodigal son wasted his living in riotous sin. He wasted his substance. He spent his life. And from the hog pen, he cried out, "How many in my father's house have much to eat and I have nothing?" He came to himself. And beloved, when he came to himself, he came to God. And he went home and he repented. He asked his father for forgiveness, and his father forgave him. And on his finger, he put a ring. And on his back, he put a robe. On his feet, he put shoes, bringing him once again into the fellowship of his family. And my friend, outside the Lord Jesus Christ, God will do the same for you. If you repent, God will forgive and God will restore, even in this moment. Why should we repent, is my second question. And this question has only one answer. We should repent because we are sinners. We are sinners by nature. As the psalmist testified, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." What is sin? The Bible defines sin as the transgression of God's law. Anything that is contrary to God's law is sin. Anything that defiles the body is sin. Anything that grieves the Holy Spirit is sin. Listen to what God says about sin and sinners. "There is not a man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," the Apostle Paul declares. And again he says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The prophet Isaiah, speaking for God, says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." James sums it up when he says, "Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." My friend, sin is a deadly disease. Sin finds its cure only in the blood of Jesus Christ. Sin is an ugly monster, a monster that can suffer defeat only at the cross. Because we have all sinned, we all need to repent. In that famous sermon on Mars Hill, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the philosophers of his day, said, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. We should repent because we are facing death. Every 17 seconds, someone dies. And death does not end it all, for after this comes that awful moment of judgment. For it is written in Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." Again in Hebrews chapter 10, Paul writes, "For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord." And again, "The Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." We are facing death, and we are facing God. You today, my friend, are facing that grim enemy of death, the last enemy that shall be destroyed, and beyond that, you must face God. My final question to you, when should we repent? Again, God's Word has the answer to this question. Hear it from Genesis 6:3. "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Again from Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." In Proverbs 27:1, it is written, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Isaiah writes in his 55th chapter, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Yesterday is but a canceled check, worthless. Tomorrow is only a promissory note, not good until it's paid. The only thing that is left is today, and God's time is always the present time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, at verse 2, it is written, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation." There is but one recorded deathbed repentance in the Scriptures, that no man might despair, and only one, that no man might presume upon the mercies of God. The ancient proverb says, "To hesitate is to be lost." The poet wrote, "There is a time I know not when, a place I know not where, that marks the destiny of men, to heaven or despair. There is a line by man unseen, that crosses every path, that makes the difference between God's mercy and God's wrath." This business of repentance is not to be trifled with. God's mercy is not to be spurned. If out there today, listening to Worth Baptist Hour, you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have never anchored your faith in the Son of God, I admonish you to open the door of your heart and let the Lord Jesus Christ come in. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." This moment, right where you are, you can be saved. The question is asked once in the Scripture, "What must I do to be saved?" The answer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Until next week at this same time, just keep on praying.